Let's go spirit hunting. I'm Susie Carrick, Chief Taster and Tailspinner from NZ Spirit Guide, and you're listening to Tales from the Top Shelf, where we meet the makers, explore the distilleries, and uncover the people, passions, and the stories behind New Zealand's world-class spirits. Kia ora and welcome to Tales from the Top Shelf. I'm Susie Carrick from the NZ Spirit Guide, and this week we are heading into the wonderfully unconventional world of Strange Nature Gin. Now, New Zealand has never been short on innovation when it comes to wine and spirits, but this one genuinely stopped me in my tracks when I first heard what they were doing differently. Strange Nature has taken something many people would consider impossible. Alcohol removed from Marlborough Sauvignon Blanc and turned into gin. Yes, gin born from wine. And not just any wine, but the iconic Sauvignon Blanc style New Zealand is famous for. Joining me today is Reese from Strange Nature, who's helping redefine what gin can be, from the spirit itself right through to that beautifully distinctive bottle sitting on the shelf. Reese, welcome to Tales from the Top Shelf.
Hey, Susie, that was quite an illustrious introduction, and I hope I can match that same level. It's great to be here, and thanks for having us on.
Lovely. Thank you. Right. Okay. So what I like to do way back at talk about the beginning, before Strange Nature Gin came along, what did life look like for you? Were you already working in wine and spirits, or did the whole journey come out of a bit of left field?
Yeah. So I've actually always had something to do with beverages, non-alcoholic beverages. In my early 20s, I was lucky to get a break with a relatively well-known soft drink company in New Zealand called Coca-Cola. And it was sort of a part-time job filling shelves at our local supermarkets here in Christchurch. It was tough going. I think early days felt, almost like a human forklift, moving cases of Coca-Cola around, but it was a great start to my career. I learned about hard work. I kind of got my apprenticeship in sales and marketing, and worked hard. And big corporates like Coca-Cola, there's always lots of opportunities for those hardworking individuals. And I was ambitious and wanted to go places. So I did a good sort of 6 or 7 years at Coca-Cola and various sales and marketing roles throughout New Zealand. And then my next move was actually into spirits. In the late sort of 2000s, I joined a company at the time that was called Maxxium. I'm sure if you're familiar with that, Susie. I think these days it's sort of morphed into might be called Beam Suntory, but it was a joint venture between some pretty awesome spirit brands of Jim Beam, Absolute Vodka, Grant's Whiskey, and Remy Martin brandy. And so that was a move over to the spirits, once again just locally, and that was fun. Started learning about cocktails, started learning about mixing drinks, and mm-hmm. how that all works. The next move was into New Zealand exports. So I jumped in with a winery down these ways called Geeson Wines. With the goal of learning the arts of export and traveling the world, and really just trading off the back of the strength of the New Zealand brand, which in the sort of mid 2010s, had a great reputation thanks to dairy and wine and all sorts of lovely F&B that this country exports. Spent a little bit of time in the New Zealand dairy industry after that, and then Strange Nature was sort of the next play after that.
Right. So New Zealanders know Sauvignon Blanc better than almost anything else we make, but turning recovered wine into gin is such a wild idea. Where did the whole original spark come from?
Yeah, we get asked that question quite a bit, and it was I think like many of my colleagues in the gin world here in New Zealand, it was that light bulb moment for sure, and it was around about the COVID time, 2020. Mm-hmm. But it was actually in the pursuit of something very, very different in the first instance. And Strange Nature has a really good connection with Geeson Wines, as I mentioned earlier, that well-known local producer out of Marlborough. And they were actually literally spinning the alcohol out of their finished Marlborough Sauvignon Blanc. Their winemakers at the time had no use for what I guess you could call a byproduct. Mm-hmm. And their winemakers tasted it, and then myself and a couple of friends also tried this Sauvignon Blanc grape spirit, and were pretty blown away that it had retained all that that varietal character, that citrus, tropical, herbaceous qualities. And which is what could we do with this grape spirit? I think firstly, can we buy some of this from the guys at Geeson? They didn't have a use for it. They were really, really accommodating. And then what do we turn that into? Is it a sipping vodka? Is it a grape spirit? Is it a grappa? But you'll know, Susan, that during that sort of time as well, that craft gin scene in New Zealand was really taking off. So we made the call to turn it into a gin after just doing a heap of blending around what are the best botanicals that work with this really vibrant grape spirit. And we started sort of upwards of I think sort of 8 or 9 different botanicals, all your classics from angelica root, orange peel, coriander, of course juniper. And after all of that sort of product research, we just landed on juniper. So it's essentially two ingredients. You've got Sauvignon Blanc grape spirit packed full of flavor, distilled with just juniper.
Okay. So for people hearing about Strange Nature for the first time, what is it about the Sauvignon Blanc spirit that makes it taste so different to a traditional grain-based gin?
Yeah. I mean, on the New Zealand gin scene, there's varying ways that you can start with your building block, your base spirit that you then distill with botanicals. I think grain, a grain-based spirit is really common. A whey-based spirit, which is not surprising considering our dairy backdrop. But grape spirit, I mean, what amazing building block that we stumbled across, because from my time in the industry, I've come across grape-based spirits before. Strange Nature is not the only grape-based spirits, and there's something about grape that's a great carrier of alcohol and flavor. I mean, some of the best wines around the world. Any wine around the world is made from grapes, of course. Look at cognacs, brandy, they've all got grape origins. It's proven, grape spirits work really well when it comes to carrying flavor, alcohol products. And I think with Strange Nature, a lot of the feedback from bartenders and consumers is around mouthfeel, texture, structure, and we can thank the grape. A great origins for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Now you've touched on Sauvignon Blanc already has those classic Marlborough flavors people love, the passion fruit, citrus, fresh herbs. How much of that character survives through the distillation into the final gin? And does the different vintages have a slightly different profile like wine does from vintage to vintage?
Yeah, it does. And We're onto our 29th batch since we've been going for 4.5 years, and if we were to do a vertical tasting between batch 1 and batch 29, there's variation. That's a good and a bad thing. I mean, we're pretty upfront. What comes with the grape spirit is it's Mother Nature dependent. Yeah. So that it could be a rough vintage and harvest in Marlborough, that can influence, you know, great quality. But I think as we've fine-tuned our art, you know, we've learnt ways of managing that and finding sort of a happy place and also consistency. The technology that our friends at winery have at the wine business by way of removing the alcohol from Sauvignon Blanc is pretty state of the art. It's called a spinning cone distillation, which is essentially using high pressure to pull the alcohol out of the wine, and that's done at a relatively low temperature, which means it's not interfering with flavor. So a lot of that flavor is actually removed and that flavor is still intact, which is really, really fortunate. So to answer your question, the flavor is still very much present even after, you know, it starts its life cycle as a grape, turned into a wine, and then finds itself in a finished bottle of Strange Nature.
Right, so it really does have those flavor profiles of a Sauvignon Blanc. I remember trying it the other day, and yeah, it really does come through. Now you touched on the whole trial and error early on. What were some of the biggest challenges though that you had to find that balance of the wine characteristics, but then also with the juniper?
Sauvignon Blanc is, you know, it's a pretty gutsy varietal. And, you know, it's important not to let it steal the show. So, you know, we're not going to beat around the bush. You know, we want those characteristics showing through. So what are botanicals that can work alongside, you know, that grape spirit, that citrus, herbaceous aspects, especially in what we know of juniper. You know, it's amazing how many consumers, when you do some gin festivals around New Zealand, who go, "Oh yeah, we know that juniper is part of a gin, but they've never actually tried juniper on its own." And for any of your listeners, you know, they sort of say, you know, get yourself into New Zealand's forest, and you know, alongside a pine tree, and that sort of that refreshing sort of piney quality is the best way to describe juniper as we see it. But yeah, juniper, you know, it's a big botanical as well. Sauvignon Blanc, grape varietals, a big botanical. So I think that the two of those interplay quite nicely. So you end up with Strange Nature that has very much those quintessential flavors of Sauvignon Blanc, you know, kaffir lime, grapefruit at its heart, with that herbaceous, with that herbaceousness, think thyme and rosemary, and that has a stunning interplay then with the juniper, which also has that citrus, earthy flavor. So I think it'll work. So the consumers tell us it works anyhow, which is if you want to be successful, the consumer keep the consumer happy. Building a brand 101. Consumer's gonna like the taste of your gin.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well and truly. You also branched out into some other very limited expressions like the Pinot gin. Is that actually made from Pinot Noir grapes, or is it aged in Pinot wine barrels? And what does that do to the flavor profile compared to the original Strange Nature gin?
Yeah. The original Strange Nature gin, I mean, we think we're absolutely onto a winner here. And you know, it's blown our mind around what we've been able to do in New Zealand. And, you know, we're exporting probably about 50% of our production offshore these days. It's been picked up. It's been picked up quite well outside of New Zealand. And so early days we thought, well, okay, there could be potential for this gin outside of the population of 5 million in New Zealand. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. We looked at other, I think, brands in New Zealand and thought, wow, they're building a really broad gen portfolio. Mm-hmm. Do we want to do that? Or do we just want to stay true to something that's working really, really well for us? Messaging to our consumer base is important. We don't want to confuse them around what we stand for. And it's a Sauvignon Blanc grape spirit, strange, we know, only one botanical. And there's the nature aspect, as in, you know, it's traceable to the vineyard in Marlborough. The two limited edition gins we do have really been designed for two areas of the market. The first one is in duty free. In New Zealand, the taxes that government put on any spirits are pretty high. End result is domestically, if you go into a Superliquor, Liquorland, Henry's, whatever it might be, you've got to factor that tax in, and, you know, strange nature sits at, say, $90 a bottle. Whereas mm-hmm. in duty free, if you're cruising out on holiday, Auckland, Christchurch, wherever it might be in duty free, you know, you can take a good chunk of tax outside of that. So all of a sudden, that bottle of strange nature, instead of being $90, it's $70. So we really like that channel for us. But what comes with that channel is the gatekeeper, as in the retailer, they want you to bring some products that you can't find domestically in, say, a Superliquor and Liquorland. And hence why we launched our barrel age expression, and then also a Pinot Noir gin, only available in supermarkets and in the duty free channel, and then also a few select bars throughout New Zealand. The barrel age gin. What we do with our Strange Nature original gin is we literally let it rest on both French and German barrels for 9 months, and it just beautifully rounds off the gin, and it brings in sort of another dimension of flavour. So with barrel, it brings kind of almost like a caramel, toffee, cinnamon, orange peel quality. So it would be our closest gin in across our three gins, which is, you know, you could sip on it, you know, with a wedge of orange. Pinot Noir gin, same process, original gin, barrel age. But then we actually, at the very start of the process, we put the gin and macerated Pinot Noir grapes. So these are Pinot Noir grapes out of Marlborough. So our gin just soaks up all that beautiful fruit flavour. So think sort of wild strawberry, wild cherry, and you almost get a woodiness that comes out of the whole grape bunch, which we press. It's actually very similar to Bloody Shiraz with Four Pillars. We're Kiwi though, right? So get rid of the Shiraz and comes the Pinot Noir instead.
Oh, I see. So this is New Zealand's answer to the Four Pillars one that they're very famous for.
Yeah. We're not so much famous yet. It's only a small percentage of the volume that they do, but it's a starting point.
Got to start somewhere, right?
You sure do.
Yeah. Right. Now, something you've got above them is, let's talk about the bottle, because it generally stands out on the shelf. It's got that rich emerald green glass, the vertical ribbing. It almost feels like a vintage perfume bottle. And then the wooden stopper on top, a bronze-coloured arch as a label. It feels premium but still playful. How much thought went into creating something that visually matched the uniqueness of the spirit and sight?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've got several owners, and like me, we've got backgrounds and building big brands, and our learning from that was, you know, packaging and, you know, brand story, brand architecture is everything. So we absolutely, when we realized we had something great by way of the gin, we absolutely slowed the process down. Took over a good 6 to 9 months to nail, you know, what we stood for, branding, packaging. And I think now 4.5 years on from when we launched, if I look at story, quality of the gin, and packaging would be the number one priority. So any advice to your listeners, if they're looking to start something, think packaging. You know, a good example is, we've been fortunate enough to secure distribution in the US, and their bottle shops are not like ours. They are like supermarkets. And then, you know, there's one store in Los Angeles, they have a whole aisle of gin. And Little Old Strange Nature on the bottom shelf gets two facings. and there's over 150 brands. So you've got to be in a package that that is striking and stands out. And I think we've done a really good job of that at Strange Nature. It's very much working for us.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I remember when you first launched and there was all the marketing out there for the bottle, and you were probably one of the first to do the pretty bottle, the stunning bottle.
That's, you know, if there's anything like the Julian household, you know, we've got our drinks cart, and it's almost part of our lounge aesthetics, the types of bottles we've got on display. So our decision is also consumers, is it's got to taste good, but of course we want it to look good, and we're proud to just to showcase, certainly being in the industry, showcase a good range of New Zealand brands on our drinks cart. That you know, there's some other really good looking brands in the market also, but yeah, with the packaging, it, we worked hard, but it's always really, really, it's not easy to nail it. So you'll get various drafts and digital copies. It wasn't until we had sort of the first mock-up in our hands where we thought, geez, actually, we might have done pretty well here. Those, all the sort of moving parts, that highly detailed bottle works quite well. And the most feedback we get is it's got a bit of a 1920s Great Gatsby sort of classic early 1900s look, and that sits well with us.
Absolutely, it is stunning. Now, when people first try Strange Nature, what reaction do you love seeing most? Is it the surprise, that the fact that it started with wine, or the moment they realize that it generally tastes unlike any other gin?
Yeah, we do heaps of liquid on lips, as we call it. You know, we've managed to convert a number of non-gin drinkers to gin, because we go against the grain, and we've got our own sort of flavor profile. So that's worked well for us. Our flavor profile works well in a modern day where consumers are looking to be challenged, and they're outwardly looking for a difference. We tick that box. Maybe where it hasn't worked so well for us, there's always that purist, there's always that, you know, that that gin consumer that just, you know, wants that classic London dry gin, and they've consumed that for many years and it works for them. And look, that's fine as well. And we're not taking anything away from them. The global gin market is huge, and you know, even having a 0.0001%, there's enough to go around.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Very much so. Now, when you look back on your journey so far, what do you think your biggest achievement for Strange Nature has been up until this point?
Well, New Zealand, our local market, we're really proud that, you know, we're probably in, you know, 500 odd bars, restaurants and bottle shops throughout New Zealand. I feel like we might now be in that repertoire of a New Zealand consumers' gin go-tos, you know. Mm-hmm. I think Scapegrace, Little Bitty certainly set the foundation. I hope that we're kind of, you know, in that repertoire now. Offshore, I'm really proud that Strange Nature is listed in 25 international airports around the world, in the duty-free channel from Sydney to Singapore, to Delhi, to Qatar, and then latest listings in the US. So we're really excited to be forging away into that duty-free channel outside of New Zealand as well. So yeah, I think growing and hopefully becoming part of that sort of local go-to brands, and then, yeah, really proud of what we've achieved in that duty-free channel offshore.
Yeah, that is a massive achievement, because I know how hard it is to get it in all those duty-free shops around the world. Right, Reece, it's the end of the working week and you finally put your feet up. Which Strange Nature drink are you pouring for yourself, and how do you like to enjoy it?
Well, it's usually a bit of a journey for me in terms of my drinking preferences. I would usually like kick off with gin. That would sort of cleanse my palate. I've always got some quality craft New Zealand beer around, and then with any meal, you know, I'm interchanging between New Zealand whites and reds. But my preference is skewed because I know what pays the bills. It's strange nature, and it's just a classic original gin, and you know the emerald green bottle. You know, it's what I preach in New Zealand and parts of the world. And yeah, I just, there's nothing else like it. And yeah, I think that just with a splash of something from Alchemy & Co. I came across Alchemy & Co. tonic mixes at Gindulgence in Christchurch back in March. And I'm really happy to have sort of found something that works in a New Zealand mixer standpoint that I can mix with our New Zealand gin. Nothing against Fevertree, but yeah, I like to support local. And so it's a splash, probably a splash. I'm going to throw it out there. I actually really like the jalapeno and pineapple. Because we've got tropical Sauvignon Blanc characteristics, and then the jalapeno kind of works quite well with the juniper. So that would be my go-to.
Yeah, I am an absolute fan of that pineapple and jalapeno soda. And the new one that's out is the lychee soda.
Oh, haven't seen it. Let's keep an eye out for that.
It was just arrived at Gindulgence in the weekend. It is absolutely outstanding. But my go-to with any gin would be the Alchemy and Tonic Sonic. So that it's just a light tonic and light soda, so you can taste the botanicals, or in your case, the wine come through the gin.
Yeah, well, great choice.
Thank you very much for joining us on Tales from the Top Shelf. It's such a clever, uniquely New Zealand story, taking something already iconic to this country and finding an entirely new way to express it through gin. And I think once people taste it, they really understand how different and distinctive it is. So thank you for sharing your journey with us today.
Lovely to finally be on your show. And we'll catch up soon.
Wonderful. Now, for the stunning bottle collectors out there, Strange Nature Gin is definitely one you want sitting proudly in your cabinet. To explore the range and buy direct, head to nzspiritguide.com. And if you've already got a bottle sitting on the shelf at home, jump onto nzspiritguide.com and leave a rating and review. We always love hearing about what people are pouring, mixing, and enjoying around New Zealand. Until next time, support local, buy direct, drink responsibly, and keep your top shelf full of stories. That's a wrap on this episode of Tales from the Top Shelf. We hope you've enjoyed this peek into the craft and creativity behind New Zealand's distilling scene. As always, sip slow, enjoy responsibly, and don't forget to support our incredible local spirit makers. I'm Susie from NZ Top Shelf. Catch you next time for more Behind the Bar stories.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.